this time such as this. We ask you to just bless this time and keep us and protect us and bring forth your Holy Spirit that may always walk with us and in us. And keep us all the days of our lives, and we thank you for that now. We ask that the words that you might want your people to hear would be received. And we thank you for that. Oh, that holy night divine, when we came into this world. We can't thank you enough for that. We can't call upon your name. But truly your birth brought forth a new life for us. Mm-hmm. And without that birth, no other birth would be of any importance.
My Lord.
Without that birth, we would not have hope. We would not have purpose, provision, protection, or a life everlasting. For that night divine, when you saw it so fit to come into this world, to save us. Let us always be mindful of that. Remind us each and every day of what you've done for us. And how much you paid that we might have life. We lift up your name and we thank you for this day. And all glory and majesty be unto you.
Yeah.
That sitteth on the right hand of making intercession for us,
yeah,
each and every moment of every day.
Yeah.
We thank you. In Jesus'
name. Amen.
Oh, night divine. That's such an appropriate statement. Because we so many times look upon Christmas as being the tinsel, the gifts, the stuff that's all around us. It's 30 to 40% of the whole economics of retail,
mm-hmm,
comes forth in these next few days. The whole year is set upon what's going to happen between now and December 31st. And so it's easy to get off track and think about what we're going to buy for somebody and what we're going to do. And not think about what's been already. When Debbie gave me this word, it's like I'm talking to myself. I didn't really know what to do. And then she told me I had 15 minutes to do
it. She told you 15?
She said 15.
Gave me 12.
She said, you gave me 12.
Last year.
Oh, well, see? And then she told me now that I tried to hone it down to 15. She said, oh, you got some. But so I'm like, well, and my wife, you know, they'll just be saying, no, don't you listen to that, so don't you even take that into consideration. Just keep it short. I said, well, I'll do what I can. And that sometimes might be a little longer than she might want. However, she told me not to scream. I'm not here to scream this morning. I'm here to stand. Hold on to this thing here. I might shake it a little bit, but I'll try to keep my voice.
And primarily not because we get excited. I get excited about what's happening.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is it's the fullness of time is quite appropriate.
Yes.
I was trying to get this understanding, and because I never thought about Christmas as the fullness of time. But as I started to look back at things and try to put things together a little bit better, I started to look back and think about in Genesis, God said to the woman, Eve,
yes,
I'll put enmity between you and your seed. Well, actually between Satan and your seed. And then he said that he would bring about someone who would crush his head.
Yeah.
Even then, way back then, God put into motion what would happen.
Let me go a little further. You're looking a little bit good. I understand. I was too.
The second thing he decided to do, not all things, we're not going to walk through every word of the Bible, but he put and called Abraham to establish a new nation, to be a father of nations. And if that wasn't enough, he then brought forth Moses, who led the children out of Egypt. He also gave Moses a law. Now God is already planning for something 2,000 years later. But before we even were thought about, he was already putting things into motion. It brings a little depth to the fullness of time. He gave a promise that Joshua would take them to the promised land. And he gave them some advice. He said, now, don't start finding women in them other folks. Which kind of sounds a little racist the way I said it, but he did say, stay within your own. Don't develop idols. And he gave us laws that, to be quite frank, he knew we could not. When we started to take on idols, when we stopped obeying his law, we brought into something that was called relative thought. We started to think that whatever we thought was right, regardless of what God said was right. We started to take on man's intelligence and use it in our lives.
Yeah.
Fulfilling our own prophecies, our own directions. And God allowed all kinds of wars to come upon the children of Israel, tore them apart, spread them all over the world. But still, God was in charge and still had a plan. Though we have gone astray, yet while we were in our sin, he died for us.
Yes, sir.
That's the divinity of that day. Let me move on a little further. God also brought across a man called Alexander the Great. Now, you think about what Alexander did. He conquered many countries. He set forth many things. But one thing that he brought to pass was that he developed and pushed the Greek language all across the world. He made it kind of like, as some people say, as English was. Is today. And he brought forth the Greek translation of the Old Testament. God is starting to put things into motion. You got to think about this. God has already planned for us what we need, but he's put those things into motion many years before we even thought of it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It changes how you think about the fullness of time. You know, I've said that so many, in the fullness of time, walking around as if it's something in the air. It's just all of a sudden one day just going to come and everything will be full. No. God has a fullness of time that we don't even understand. Why? Because he's the beginning and the end.
Yes, sir.
He's time in itself. So, of course, he is the fullness of time. And we'll see that in a moment. But he is.
Yes,
sir. The fullness of time. So he knows exactly what to do when we don't know what to do. And why we're doing what we're doing. We need to hear this. Augustus came along and provided safe travel. The Greek man, Alexander, put people together, put men together in a bond of war. He
you took the man you conquered and actually made him his warriors and made them serve him.
When you look at the fullness of time, if you look at that book, it talks about in the context of a ship being put together and driven and manned by soldiers, warriors, conductors, and various people in the ship. And it's man. Something, in other words, the fullness of time is not something that just happens. It's something that God puts in us, that fulfills us, that gets us ready for what we need to do. And in the process, he has to put all of the elements. Just like you can't take a ship to the water if there's nobody at the helm, if there's not a rower to row the ship, if there's not warriors or people on the ship. The ship goes nowhere. It sits by the dock. It doesn't go anywhere.
That's right.
But when God fills it, when he fills your ship with all the things that you need, then you are able to move forward. And that word fullness means he's filling you with all the things that you need. Got a little off track there, but that's all right. I like that. I can move on a little further. So let me try this. I'm gonna stay on track again. I'm gonna get this thing done. So when we talk about in Galatians chapter 4 through 5, and it says, when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son. Now, I didn't go through all the things that God did to prepare us, but that's just a glimpse of what God did to prepare us for the fullness of time, which was in his Son. Born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem us who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. This is the reason for Christmas. The Savior provided for us redemption and made us part of his family. We move on. When we look at that in Galatians, it says, think of this. Think of it this way, and this is a New Living Translation. It says, if a father dies, this is Galatians chapter 4, verse 1, leading up to those verses, and dies and leaves great wealth for his young children, those children are not much better off than slaves until they grow up, even though they actually own everything their father had. They have to obey their guardians until they reach whatever age their father set. And that's the way it was for us before Christ came. We were under that law. We were slaves to the spiritual powers of this world. But when the right time came, the fullness of time, God sent his Son, born of a woman, subject to the law. When the right time came, he brought forth his Son. That fullness means to us, as a body of believers, as being filled, which is the presence, the power, agency, riches of God and of Christ. And if I don't say anything else, we ought to be happy about that. Because today, like no other day, we don't have much more power. We truly don't have godly agencies. And we're sure not as rich as we were last year.
Well,
maybe you are. But I'm not. Well, I guess y'all are. My point is, though, the fact is we are depleted and constantly being depleted of all the things that we think we need to get what God wants us to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And all God is saying that if we will allow Jesus to come into our lives, if we will believe on him, we will have everything that we need to get what we need to get done. But it won't be of our power, might, agency, or whatever we have in our back pocket. It will not come that way.
Yeah.
And if you believe it, you will go into a land of frustration.
Yes, sir.
All right.
But this fullness comes from the verb pleromo. It means filled, that which is filled. It reminds us of the scripture being of one body, of one accord, on that day when we are being filled with the Holy Spirit at the birth and death and resurrection of Christ. And that baby boy that was born that day put that into the scripture. And that's why it was the fullness God saw that that day it was time for us to have. We were been slaves long enough.
Thank you, Lord.
We didn't have to live under the law any longer. Because a price was paid that we could not pay, that he came to pay. That was his mission. That's why it was fulfilled at the time. Let me give you a little more, because I know you haven't quite gotten that yet, but you will. I want to leave you with this. How much more time do I have? A few minutes? It was amazing to me when I was looking through this and all of a sudden I got moved to Revelation. And in Revelations 11, it talks about two witnesses and how they shall prophesy 1,234 days, clothed in sackcloth. And I can't go through all the interpretations. You'll have to talk to Elder Rudy Wiggins about all of that, but the best I can surmise is this: as these are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of heaven. It says, if any man will hurt them, fire proceeds out of their mouth and devour their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. He goes on and it says in Revelation verses 11, verses 6, these have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over the waters to turn to blood and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. And when they have finished their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. And it says, and their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom, but also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people in hundreds of tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put into the graves. The understanding is that this life will be so bad. Mankind will have no regard for God's people. That those bodies won't even be allowed to be buried, but will just be left out so all can see. One commentator actually says, we'll have CNN and all the television stations looking around, talking about this thing that's happening. But it's a good thing. Right there in that verse, that they saw their dead bodies 3 days and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be killed. It goes on and says, and they will dwell upon the earth and shall rejoice over, the people shall rejoice over them and make merry, send gifts to one another because of these two prophets that tormented the earth. They will have a party. over these two. If you could just imagine, here are two witnesses of God that have been destroyed, and the world is glorifying themselves. What a wonderful day.
Yep.
It's like Satan is having Christmas. Exactly. Celebrating over this thing. This is God. God doesn't do this. If you go down a little further, and it says, and they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up and they ascend up into heaven and climb and the enemies in heaven.
Yes, sir.
Oh, they thought that it was all said and done. That they had gotten the last law passed. That they had taken every precaution to get rid of every good thing of God. And when the last two witnesses were dead, they thought, oh, we can be thankful now. It's all over. We don't have to hear these folks talking about Christ, Christendom, or anything else anymore. They could rejoice in their own wealth. They could be happy with what they had. They wouldn't have to worry about any other laws except the ones that they thought were correct. And if they were correct in their minds, they would be fine. Total disregard of anybody else. You don't see how difficult, how disastrous this will be. To the point where it says, in those days, you really hope you're not even born. Hope the womb would just close up and not give forth the image. It'll just be just that way. Now we don't like to hear about that right now, but the point is that after 3.5 days, in the fullness of time, they were resurrected and they became and were with God. Just like one day, not too long ago, that little baby boy became a man.
Yes, sir.
And he walked this earth and he told us all the things we did not know. And he knew us better than we knew ourselves. And he was brought into that city. And he died on that cross.
Yes, sir.
That's the baby that came into this world. And the divinity is the fact that he did go to the cross. And in his resurrection, we were brought forth.
Yes, sir.
Out of this world. This disastrous, dangerous, and crazy world. And we shall be with him one day. We shall be thankful for the fact that he brought us thus far, because we will be with him. They rose up. The breath of God was breathed into man. The breath of God was breathed on man and imbued man on the day of Pentecost. And one day, the breath of God, the Holy Spirit, came into us to keep us, that we might always persevere and be with him. The Holy Spirit is the breath of God. The breath of God. Can you imagine that? That Holy Spirit that he blew into that first little bit of dust that he created in the garden and called him Adam, who was made in the image of him. In due time, in the fullness of time, when we were all on one accord, after that baby boy had died and been resurrected, he said, I've got to go
lands may run. Your mind can think many things, but if you can't breathe, you won't get nothing done.
Yes, sir.
No, you won't.
Well,
if you don't have that breath,
yeah,
you don't live. You stop breathing right now, you might be able to run 1,000 miles, but you stop breathing,
it
is all over. That's right. You hear me?
Yeah.
That's why he had to come. But it took the fullness of time. God said it was the right time for him to come. It was the right time.
Yeah.
And in that right time, he set forth the motion of the breath of God for you and me.
Yes, sir.
That we might live on. Keep on keeping on.
Uh-huh.
We can sing about the divinity of God. We can talk about the Holy Night. Oh! The fullness of time. Never thought about it that way before.
Thank you. Thank you.
Never thought about it that way. That God in the garden, who was planning for me to have some breath. But I ran out of breath. You hear me? In the garden. That's the miraculous thing to me. In the garden.
Yeah.
He did that.
Yes, sir.
So today I might live. Now, if that ain't Abba, Father.
Yes, sir.
If that ain't Big Daddy.
Yes, sir.
If that ain't the real Daddy.
Yes, sir.
I don't know who is.
Yes, sir.
So he put it in.
Yes, sir.
To the fullness of time.
Yes,
and he brought forth this day.
Glory.
So we thank him for that.
Yes, sir.
We bless him for that.
Yes, sir. Glory.
Ooh, in the fullness of time. Even in Revelation, in the last book, he said, don't forget about the fullness of time.
Yes, sir.
Because I'll take care of it. I'll take care of it. You might think you're down and out for the last count.
Well,
I said, I'm not sure. But you know, when you know a little something about God,
yes, sir.
When you get just a little bit of word from him,
mm-hmm.
I don't care what's happening in your life. It seems to fill you up and get you right.
Yes, sir.
So you can move just a little bit further.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's his fullness of time. He knew you were going to need it before you got up in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And he provided for you.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Christ, that little baby boy was born at the right time.
Yes, he was.
Whew.
Thank you.
I don't know about you. But if he hadn't been born, well, I'd just be in jail.
Amen.
Amen. I'd be in jail whether I was in the prison or out of the prison. Yeah. Seriously.
Right.
I'd be in jail.
Amen.
Every day of my life.
Sure enough.
I didn't do that right. Oh, Lord. I didn't do that right. Oh, I messed up my mind again. Oh, Jesus. I can even call on Jesus. I had to go find the Levites to get that lamb. But even, I can't explain it because I like it, even the menorah that we see of the Jewish life, that's in the Holy Spirit. How do you get the representation of that life? The Holy Spirit, the breath of God, is an intimacy of God. And that intimacy of God is in that Holy of Holies as a representation. You just got to look at that one. But the menorah is in the hall. It was developed. And it's one tree with seven branches. It's not different candles. They all come from God. And Rudy will tell you more. He got that down. But the thing is, the main thing is that Holy Spirit that he gives us is an intimate time with God because it is his breath. And if you think about how your breath is, how intimate it is to you, your existence, you think about how intimate that is with God. It takes it out of a totally different realm of intimacy that we know that it is that breath. being the Levites of God, the Holy of Holies, in the old days, we have to usher into the fact that this child was born on that day, and he died crucified there.
For those of us who are here, we believe. The life where you just grab the hand of the person next to you. Touching the mirror. And we're asking God to bring this one. Us on that one. That Lord, you might be able to use us, move us in the directions that you have us to go. And God, just remind us each and every day of what your Son has already done for us, that we have no need of life, but you have all things in heaven and on earth. That we might ever need. That we might call upon your name in our time of need, and you shall respond and hear from us, and you shall pray for the children. So we thank you for that. We thank you for that night when you brought your Son into this world. And though he was born in a manger, he was a king. The King of Kings. He became the name above all names, Jesus. And we thank you for the fact that Jesus died on the cross one day, that we might be saved and have life everlasting. We thank you for that divine night where you brought forth from Mary's womb a child, your child, a wonderful child, counselor. You brought him forth as a little bitty baby. No wonder you said, come ye as little children, because thus is the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah.
You brought him forth as a child. And though they tried to kill him, you made a way. And when they did crucify him on the cross that day, you made a way. Oh, it signifies to us, Lord, thank you, for if you made a way that day, you'll make a way for me, my children and my children's children. Bless us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for just staying with us.
Yeah.
Just holding us in our own indignation. Taking us wherever we are. You say in the pit of hell or the highest mountain, I'm there with you. I thank you for that, Lord. For many times I can go from the highest mountain to the pit of hell in a matter of a moment. And you're there. You haven't left us. You haven't forsaken us. Bless our children. Guide their way. Put your hedge of thorns all about them and protect them every day. Let no hurt, harm, or danger come against them. But put that hands up high like the walls of
say to them, to encourage them, Lord Jesus. Give us this kind word to encourage them. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for this day.
Thank you.
You didn't have to do this, but you saw fit that we might be just a little bit to be in your presence. We lift up your name this day, Lord, and we thank you. We bless your name. We praise you.
Yes,
we give you all honor.
Thank you, God.
We give you all glory and majesty, for you are King.
Yes.
We thank you.
Thank you.
This day, every day of our lives, we give you praise. For you are worthy to be praised. This day and every day of our lives. In Jesus' name. Look after your saints, Lord. Touch every heart in this place. Every mind in this place. Rejuvenate, restore, remind, and cleanse. That we might not think less of ourselves, but we might think more of who we are in you. Mm-hmm. That we might not let inferiority complexes overwhelm us and depression put us down, but we can look towards heaven and say, thank you, Lord, because you've already made a way. You already put that aside and Satan, you're a liar. The Bible says you have given us a spirit of power, love, and sound mind. So when that depression comes, we can rebuke it in the name of Jesus. It's not of God. We can rebuke satanic spirits in the name of Jesus because you died on the cross. You was finished. God said in Revelation, it is done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega. It's done.
Yes.
We don't have to worry about finishing the fight. We just got to hold on to your hand because you finished the fight. We just have to have the might to go on. Till you return one day, Lord. And be with us again. We thank you for that. The battle's already won. Thank you, Jesus. The glory goes to you. You're the winner. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Oh, I can go on. But this day, we thank you. We bless your name. In Jesus' name. I bless you. Themselves will be caught. I guess I didn't quite make that happen. But you know, when I get to heaven, y'all will hear somebody over the corner. And you'll say, this is all that noise. And you'll say, oh, that ain't nobody but Johnson Stokes. He's still screaming. He's still shouting.
Yes,
he's still shouting all his angels. And he's still shouting right here.
Yes, sir.
But you know what? I don't care if I shout all day long.
Come on.
If I don't shout, something's wrong.
Yes, sir.
If I walk around sad, something's wrong.
Come on, baby.
Okay, this is time to go.
Hallelujah.
God bless you.
Thank you. Hallelujah. Bless you. Bless you. Hallelujah.